Hey, good morning, everyone. So glad to be here with you. We're always glad to see your faces and worship with you and minister to you and pray for you and anything we can to serve you guys. It's why we do what we do, why we show up during the middle of the week so we can get ready for you. And, you know, let me tell you, it takes a lot to get ready for you guys, by the way. But and I mean that with joy and love and, you know, excitement. But hey, alongside this Freedom Conference that we have at the end of August, I want to personally invite you to the beginning of August, the 2nd and 3rd, where our guide that we use during when we go to Israel, Sonia Waters, she is phenomenal, a phenomenal teacher, very well versed in Hebrew, in archaeology of Israel, understanding theology as well as the Hebrew and Bible, and it's a she helps theologians translate our Bible into Hebrew. Let's see, what else does she do? She's a historian. She graduated from Camden University in England. She is, I mean, just brilliant. She loves to study Messianic prophecy. So anyway, she's going to come Friday night and then Saturday morning and just do an exposition, just teaching. She's going to teach about Shabbat or Sabbath and how, you know, what that looks like, pointing to Jesus and how God has always designed everything traditionally to point to Jesus. And so she's going to talk about a lot of those things and do some little workshops on Saturday morning. So I want to invite you to that completely free. We just want to provide that to you because we think Israel's important. God thinks Israel's important. We think Israel's important. So there you go. We are in our series, All Things New. All Things New. We've been talking about the Beatitudes, and I hope the Lord has been speaking to you, if you've seen or heard or tuned in. But we've gone through two of the Beatitudes, and my hope in this is that really there's a revelation of what Jesus meant when he stood up on the Sermon of on the Mount of Beatitudes and gave the Sermon on the Mount, and he kicked it off with these Beatitudes, which is kind of a counterculture way to approach life. I'm hoping that there's some revelation for you, that there's actually application, because I think that what I know is Jesus wants us to walk out a fulfilled life and a completely empowered life. And as we get towards the last several Beatitudes, you're going to see those things don't exist without the foundation of these preliminary Beatitudes. So it's not a multiple choice. It's not a, hey, I like that one. I like 2, 4, and 5, but I don't really like the others. It's like, I don't really want to go. I don't want to mourn. You know, I don't want to be poor in spirit. No, that somebody else can do those. I just want the other ones. It didn't work like that. It's a foundation. These are principles that God chose for us to live a counterculture lifestyle. Why? Because when he says blessed, because we're talking about blessed are the meek, blessed is an internal joy that the world can't understand. Why? Because they don't have Christ. It's a happiness that no matter what's happening, I can still be mourning. I can still be poor and destitute, understanding my great need for Jesus, but I'm happy. Nonetheless, my circumstances aren't dictating who I am and how and my joy. I may be mourning. I need some areas where the Lord's healing me right now, but I'm still blessed. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's got my back and he's working all things out in front of me and through me and for me. And that's a confidence that the world doesn't have. And that's a confidence that the world needs to see those who say they follow Christ to embrace. It's a confidence that we're called to embrace. It's an inner knowing. It says God has got it. He's working it out. His word says, my experience and testimony with God in relationships says, proves, shows. And we're going to keep on going. We're going to be going straight ahead at the pace that he chooses, being really quick at problem solving along the way, but it's going to be all right, just the way life is. So we talked about two Beatitudes already. Let me go back. We talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. Whenever you realize, man, I just need Jesus. I am destitute in all areas of my life, not just salvation. I don't just have a salvation box, and then I got a work box. I got a Christian life box. I got a relationship box. I got a finance box. Nope. I need Jesus in all those because in and of myself, I don't compare. My decisions don't compare to the revelation and the wisdom of God. I'm destitute. And every time I try to work it out, I get it built up where I have my little kingdom, then I have my little idols, and then something happens and it all gets wiped away because it's not built on Jesus. So I'm destitute. And then, you know, I'm going to have, life's going to happen. I'm soul and flesh and I'm nature, and we're made that way to be transformed into the image of Christ. That means I'm going to have to mourn some things. I may have to mourn the injustice of the world. I may have to mourn what the body of Christ is going through. I may have to mourn our government. May have to mourn what's going on around the Middle East. I may have to mourn some things. But in that mourning, I don't allow my emotions to dictate how I react or respond and live life out, which ends up causing more toxic trait than it does blessed trait. So I have to realize, as a mature individual, my emotions are a little jacked up right now. I may not want to act or respond on what I'm feeling until I mourn those things and bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, can you give me a word? Can you speak to me? Can you heal me in this area? Because I'm just feeling a lot of grievance, a lot of pain and a lot of sorrows. Whatever it is that you're feeling, may I mourn that stuff. That's great, because he says, blessed are those who mourn. Their new good news is, for they shall be comforted. We talked about that last week. For they shall be comforted. That's a promise. When I start mourning, or when I have a broken heart, Jesus shows up. Not that he ever left, but there's a manifest presence of more of Jesus, because he is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is actually sent into my life because he is the comforter. This is good news. This is really good news. I need that. And so blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. And then today we're talking about blessed are the meek. Verse 5 of Matthew 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is meek? What does it mean to inherit the earth? Like, that's all going to be mine? And if I just, what is meek? It's not even a word we use, right? Like, man, when I think about so-and-so, oh, she's just so meek. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, they're just, every time, just they're just meek. Just the picture of meekness right there. It's not a word in our dictionary anymore, at least not our vocabulary. Maybe it is in our dictionary. What does it mean, I'm going to inherit the earth? What do I get? What does that come with? I mean, I got to deal with all the problems of the earth? I don't want that. Then I'm going to be opposite of meek. What's opposite of meek? That might be the problem. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus continues to teach, and he's continually talking. And Jesus didn't just teach these principles. He embodied these principles. And he says, hey, here's what it looks like. Walk with me. Do life with me. Watch how I handle situations. Watch how I navigate life. He embodied these things. And he's doing this all along the way. And the King James Version says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know who struggles to rest? The proud and the bitter, the angry and the resentful. Yeah, there's no greater loss of sleep than being resentful and bitter and angry. Is that, am I the only one that's ever been through that? Like, you're just triggered all night long. I can't get any REM sleep, and it's all everybody else's fault. I'm hot. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe this is going on. I can't believe. Unprocessed, unhealthy turns resentful. You know what resentful? Anger turns into resentment. Resentment turns into bitterness. And now I didn't even know how I got here, but somehow I'm just here, and it's all their fault. Or it's his fault. It's her fault. It's a situation. Somebody else's fault. It's all outside of me. Can't be me. All I know is I can't sleep, and they're the cause of it. But he says, come to me. Oh, you're heavy, you're laboring, you're carrying a heavy burden. I'll give you a solution. I'll trade some things. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, there it is, and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, in our own ways, we end up carrying heavy burdens, feeling heavy, a heaviness, a spirit of heaviness. I just feel so heavy. I can just feel weighty. Life is just hard. It's just beating down on me. Why is life so difficult and challenging? Why is everything so burdensome? Like, you're just You don't even know it. You just keep carrying this burden rather than coming to Jesus and transferring it with him and making this trade. And all of a sudden, I'm just angry because life's just heavy. And I don't know who I'm mad at. I'm just mad. Anybody like being around mad people? No. And all of a sudden, I'm alone. I'm in isolation. I'm in solitude. Nobody likes me. They've all abandoned me. Got to be their fault. Some of the most restless people are angry and bitter. Don't even know it. Don't even know where it happened. You know, this is why Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there's things that happen in life. And we oftentimes get busy rather than handling them. Or we try to distract ourselves. Or we try to change our situation in and of ourselves and our own craftiness and our own decision making. We do something to change the external. And all the while, Jesus is saying, hey, you're more blessed if you just mourn. If you'll come to me and make a transition, I'll give you rest. But we don't know how to practice that, or we don't as a discipline. Well, it sounds good. That's good churchy stuff. That's my church box. But in reality, shoot, I'm ready to chokeslam somebody. I got them in a little cage. So I got them in a cage, and I hold them up in that cage. Every once in a while, I put them back in that cage, and I just slap them around a little bit, you know, just. But you carry this stuff. You try to distract yourself from it. Maybe if I get busier, maybe if I change situations, maybe I change relationships, maybe I change places, it won't bother me so much. But internally, inside of you, it's still there because it hasn't been mourned and processed with the Lord. Why? Because there's some pride involved, a little bit of arrogance. I won't be the one to initiate that reconciliation. Nope. I'm not going to forgive. Forgive for what? For you. To set you free. To release you from the resentment and the anger. But it comes with meekness. I don't have to take matters in my own hands when I'm meek. I don't have to try to create outcomes and formulate decisions and cover my tracks and manipulate circumstances when I'm meek. I'm trusting God in the process. Isaiah 55:15 says, so people will be brought low and everyone humbled. The eyes of the arrogant, humbled. Well, that's good news. God's going to do some humbling. Isaiah was talking to a whole city, a whole nation of people. Listen, God won't have all this pride and haughtiness. You're going to keep bumping up to your own issues like you have your head bumping up against the wall. Your problems are not external. The problem is not them, they, or there. Problem is internal. There's some decisions that have to be made. That's Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Proud and arrogant are always fighting for recognition, position, and possessions. You know, your greatest problems are around that. Well, they didn't see me. They don't see me. They don't act like me. They don't block me enough. Well, I just need a position, better position by my position. Possessions, there's fighting for more possession, more stuff. Recognition, position, possessions drive us crazy. And all of them come out of pride and a haughty spirit, arrogance. But the meek, not worried about that. I got everything I need. I got everything I need in Jesus. They learn this lifestyle, Matthew 19:30, Jesus talks about, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. How many times you said, where are you at on your spiritual journey? Oh man, I'm just being meek right now. I'm just in my meek stage. You know what I'm saying? Just processing that meekness in everything. I'm just trying to be meek. All my relationships, my marriage, my child, I'm meek. I'm doing that last first thing. You know what I'm saying? Last first. I spent 2 hours in Walmart letting everybody else go through in that self-checkout. I just kept waving them on in. They thought I worked there. And I was like, no, I don't have a name tag. I don't wear, I just want to be last. Jesus said, last be first. Nobody does that. We're mad because we have a self-checkout. We're mad because the other checkout, like, we're just mad all the time. We live in this life of everything. We're so modern or technology, everything's got to be right now. 5G's not even fast enough. Fast food? Oh, no, it's slow now. Everything's slowing down. And I don't like it because we're speeding up. We expect so much so fast, and we lose our meekness and our humility and our last first that Jesus calls us to. Because it's a counterculture life we're supposed to live. And Samuel says, you save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. And maybe you've gone through some seasons, or you're in a season that feels like all things are breaking loose and everybody's against you and it's always them, they, and there. It could be that God is trying to identify there's a humbling season that he's trying to invite you into, trying to take you through. Why? Because he wants to save you. He wants to save you in some areas. He wants to help you in some areas. He wants to build you up in some areas. You ever noticed how uncomfortable life is when you're walking around all proud and haughty? Not yet? That might explain your discomforts in life right now. There's always a problem, and it's always everybody else. Always carrying around all this stress. Feel tense. Ugh. Feel tight. Anybody says anything to you, you pop off and like, what's wrong with them? Chill. Take a deep breath. Practice your meditation skills. It's never a, I need to change first mentality. It's got to be them. Got to be they. Got to be there. And all the while, these situations are formulated and trying to bless you because God is saying, hey, maybe it's you that needs to change. Because I can do some things with the humble. But proud people will never know that they're the ones that need to change. They're always looking for an external reason that their internal problems exist. But if God has ever humbled you, that's good news because he is humbling his preparation, his grounds for blessing. Blessed are the meek. I need some blessings. I'm actually called to be blessed. But I have a response. I have a part in that. I've got to learn some meekness. What is meekness? Strength under control. You ever heard that? Strength under control. It's not that I can't, just that I choose not to. I shouldn't. I could, but I won't. It's the idea of a powerful horse that has been trained and disciplined for battle. Oh, it's full of, you know what, and vinegar, just like, strong, full of strength and power, but because of its training and because it knows who's in charge and it knows there is a time and it knows everything is already worked out, it chooses not to. It chooses not to tear up the environment. It chooses not to run wild. Unlike a stallion, you ever seen a team of horses, wild horses, stallions? A stallion's powerful, just as powerful. Just as strong when it comes to physique. Has just the same ability. However, it's not broke. It hasn't been trained. And so it comes running through, tearing up stuff, leaving a mess behind it. But the war horse is actually more powerful because it has strength in reserve. It has the ability to focus. It has clarity. It knows who's in charge. It knows there's something greater. It knows there's a higher purpose. Someone who, a war horse with the ability to yield is way more powerful. A war horse with strength under control has been broken. And someone who doesn't feel the need to self-promote and self-protect understands that God's in charge. I don't need to promote myself. I don't need to protect myself. God's got me. He'll work it out on my behalf. He'll protect me. He is my provider. He is my provision. He is my protection. In fact, it's one of his names. Being broken is not a popular attribute of in culture today. Oh, nobody likes that. No. I got to be proud and show myself approved, haughty, worthy. But in God's culture, brokenness leads to blessing. Being broken, however, is an attribute God requires so that we be entrusted with his secret things. With things from his heart, it requires a broken, meek spirit. That the humble will experience the provision, purpose, and presence of God. There's no three greater things than the provision, the purpose, and the presence of God. Psalms 25, 9 says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. See, the haughty he can't direct. You've got it already figured out. The proud and the obstinate and the arrogant, oh no, you already have it all figured out. When we're like that, we have it all figured out. No, I've got it. I got this. I got my own direction. I know what to do. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, what if God has an alternative in the moment? Well, the proud and haughty can't hear it and won't see it. But the humble, he says, oh, I'm going to guide you because I've learned that I'm poor in spirit. I'm destitute without you, Jesus, in every area of my life. I have tried, and yet I keep messing it up. I need you, Jesus. And I'm mourning the things, the losses and the hurts and the pains and even the injustices of this world because I know, God, that it's not your will that these things take place. Let me have your heart and have healed emotions for every situation that matters to you. And then I begin the preparation of this meek, humble heart. And the good news is he promises he will guide me. Those who are meek, those who are humble, he guides. He gives intimate truths, intimate secrets. In fact, if you're humble, he says that he will give you direction. He'll give you creativity, creative thought, creative plans, creative ideas. The humble have vision. Why? Because